Welcome to Begin With Yes with Paul Boynton on Empower Radio, a show to help you create and embrace real personal change. You can overcome the challenges in front of you. You just begin with yes. Here's your host, Paul Boynton.
Hey, it's great to have you with us. My guest today, returning for a second visit because I begged her to come back, is Joyce Glick, who is a personal and professional coach who is extremely passionate about her life and also passionate about helping others discover their own exciting lives and setting things in motion. Joyce describes her practice as actively coaching others to engage in their life and live on the edge. And living on the edge is where most of us are these days, I think. So welcome back, Joyce.
Hey, thanks, Paul. It's great to be back. Yes, we all live on the edge of something, uncertainty or laughter or love or something. We all live right on the edge. We just don't know it.
Whether we want to or not.
Yeah,
The last time we had an interesting conversation about living on the edge. And today I wanted to chat with you a little bit about getting started when you don't know where or how to start. And this is a live show today, so we're going to welcome calls if people are listening and have thoughts or comments or ideas that they would like to share. They should feel free to call. Here's the number, 248-809-3474. And they can also email us at beginwithyes@comcast.net. So, Joyce, have you ever been stuck yourself?
Oh, yeah. Plenty of times.
About today? Have you been stuck today?
No, I wasn't stuck today, but I've been stuck plenty of times. I think, maybe in a way I was. I was sharing with you a little bit earlier that I was so tired this morning. And, you know, I had a lot to do today. And I was thinking, geez, you know, the one thing I wanted to do was just sleep in. And I was woke up by the chipmunks all throwing nuts on top of the roof. And I went walking outside to kind of look at them like, what are they doing having my coffee? And down comes one of those nuts and just nails me right between the eyes. That was my thing that got me going this morning.
Well, your wake-up call. You don't think it was deliberate, do you?
I've been around a lot of squirrels, and they can be kind of protective. So I don't think they necessarily meant to hit me in the head, but isn't it funny how I got smacked right to wake me up?
That is funny. Hey, being stuck, I think, is just part of the human condition. I think
I think it's part of the human condition, and I think we all get stuck with different things. And, it can be anything. It doesn't even have to be something big that gets us stuck. We can be stuck over something that's small. I mean, it could be anything from doing your taxes to stopping smoking to picking up the phone and calling somebody you haven't talked to in a long time or, you know, getting up and going to work. It could be anything, you know, cleaning your house, doing your laundry. You can be stuck with anything.
And then, of course, there are big things that we get stuck in, sometimes relationships that aren't working, jobs that don't make us happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are the big things. And you know, I think as a human condition, we've all been stuck in those things at some point in our life. And, it's not so much about, you know, being stuck there and dwelling on that. I think for me, it's about accepting where I'm at. Sometimes I'm stuck. That's where I'm at. And being okay that I'm stuck. And as soon as I notice that I'm stuck and this is where I'm at, then it almost opens up an awareness that, there's probably something I can do to get out of this. But I think a lot of times when we get stuck, some people get more depressed or they just feel bad about themselves or they're really too hard on themselves, very judgmental about themselves, about, geez, I should be able to do this and, you know, how come I can't get out of this? And so I think that, you know, that's the first thing is accepting where you're at.
You know, one of my favorite questions is what now? Which always seems to sort of get me moving again when I'm stuck. It's life has a way of twisting and turning and not always going the way that you expected or hope that it's going to go. And that question always seems to help me if I just simply say, well, And it sort of acknowledges, yes, I am stuck, and so now what? And there is almost always a question. I mean, always an answer to that question.
Right.
And then if you actually do it.
My favorite question along those lines is, yes, so what, now what? So same kind of question, you know.
That's so what, really true.
Now what?
You know, as a coach, and I know that you not only coach individual clients, but you actually coach coaches, and work with people that are coaches. Do you think most people who seek out a coach are in some way or another stuck?
No. I think one of the best, well, a lot of people that are stuff do seek out a coach, but it's not all the time. A lot of times, a coach will be sought out just to open new possibilities. I mean, it could be something fabulous. There could be something really going right in their life, and they're just looking for, you know, what's my next what? You know, where am I going to go? And so I think it can be a little bit of both. You know, one or the other. And coaches, it's the same way. Just because we're coaches doesn't mean we don't get stuck in our stuff.
Right. I completely get that. In fact, I'm always telling people, as short as my book is, I guess it's a good thing that it's short, because just because I've written the book Begin With Yes does not necessarily mean that I've mastered everything in the book. And I go back and reread it and remind myself and surround myself with people who remind me when I can't remind myself about opportunities or things that I need to do. One thing that I think is kind of interesting is that some people get overwhelmed because there are so many things that they want to do. They're not necessarily stuck because they don't know what to do. They're stuck because there are so many things they want to do. Have you experienced that yourself?
Yeah, that being common, For that kind of an instance, when you've got so much on your plate, you know, there's that saying, well, you can get a bigger plate for one thing. And I think that it's about chunking things down into smaller portions. Instead of looking at it like, okay, I've got, you know, a work project, I've got Thanksgiving coming up, I've got Christmas shopping to do, I've got 15 letters to write, thank you notes, I've got a seminar coming up, I've got whatever, like, you know, all this, I've got a date with my husband, I've got all these things going on. It's chunking those things down. So today, what action can I take to move myself forward in either all of these categories or the top three of these categories so that you're always moving? You know, action, when you're in action, it gets more action. Once you're moving, you know, you want to move more.
Right. And in fact, I guess you can't be moving and stuck at the same time. It sounds like those two.
Well, you know, or you can.
Yeah? Tell me about that.
Or you can. So you could be, I mean, a lot of times I think when people are stuck, they're still going through the motions of stuff.
Right.
So there's movement there, although it might not be the kind of really fun movement that gets people really charged up. They just might be going through the motions. And so it's more out of habit than it is out of, wanting to do it.
Is it possible to be stuck and reflect on that and recognize that maybe the reason I'm stuck is because I'm barking up the wrong tree, or I'm heading in a direction that doesn't really serve me? Or, I mean, have you ever encountered that?
Yeah, I think a lot of people, and when I speak of a lot of people, I always include myself because I've been there, I think that a lot of times, again, we go through the motions, or we're driven by what society or our family or even our own self thinks we're supposed to do versus what we really want to do. And whether it's, you know, sometimes out of obligation, or, you know, as a mother, let's say, you know, as a mother, I always felt like, you know, I was supposed to be making my kids lunch every day. I hated that. I just hated making school lunches, okay? I just didn't like it. And it wasn't until I finally realized that I just didn't like it, and it was nothing to do with me as being a mother. It was just a process I didn't like that I gave that process back to the kids and said, you guys want to take homemade lunches? My kids did. Make your own the night before. I'll help you, but I'm not doing it anymore. So it wasn't, you know, even something as small as that. So I was doing that because I thought that's what, you know, a good mother did. You know, right. We made lunches for our kids. That's what they wanted. So yeah, I think we do go through stuff like that. And essentially in there, I was barking up the wrong tree because it just didn't do anything for me. Kids loved it, but I didn't like it at all.
Well, interesting. Were your lunches any good?
They were good. They were. Yeah, the kids loved them. Well, let's just say they were better than the school lunches. How's that?
I remember Phyllis Diller used to say her kids were the only kids that loved hot lunch at school. So, but listen, let me, you know, one of the things, and you know me well enough to know that I am an optimist and always tend to look on the bright side, but one of the things I find very irritating about optimistic people is that sometimes they don't really take into consideration the difficulties that people are having, or they minimize the pain that people are having, or the challenges that people are facing. And how do you sort of stay, and I know that you're an optimistic, hopeful person yourself, but how do you stay grounded in some of the realities that people, for example, someone that's been unemployed for 18 months or 2 years and has been sending out resumes and not hearing back from people. I mean, how do you sort of strike a balance between being hopeful on behalf of somebody and also respectful of the challenges that they're facing?
Well, I think, you know, that's a lot. There's a lot of tools that go into that. First, I think I have to be very purposeful about being grounded. And I also have to know what my own, what we call the drift is. So if my drift is the same as my client's, meaning had I been employed or if I've ever been unemployed and really knew what it was like, and that was really something that got me emotional, I have to be very aware of that for me to be able to coach around that and to be with that person. And I think it's, you know, being optimistic, I know you are, and I am too. And I think really most people at heart are optimistic. It just gets clouded with circumstances. Mm-hmm. And to stay neutral with that, it's just practice, Paul. You know, it's practice. It's practice staying neutral, whether it's with a client or with myself or, you know, with kids, whoever it is, with somebody at work, your relationship. It's being able to be neutral and really listen to that person and what they're saying and not be in your head making up your responses to those people already. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it definitely does make sense. And that sort of is an interesting comment for you to end with in light of the fact that the question that I want to ask you now is, could we talk about some general scenarios? And obviously coaching is very individualized, so I can't give you a situation and you could give me the perfect answer for that. But I wanted to just chat with you about a few kind of challenging or difficult positions and just see from a coach's perspective where you might start with somebody faced with a situation. Is that okay? Can we try that just to see if it works? So let's talk about someone that is in a very difficult relationship. When maybe it's even borderline abusive or abusive. It's just not a healthy relationship. Yet the idea of moving on or dealing with that is so big and so overwhelming that the person is just left really stuck and also feeling like, you know, all of this optimism, you know, make the best of things and et cetera, et cetera. I mean, that just doesn't resonate with someone that's really in the thick of things. How would you begin with somebody like that?
Well, again, I think the first thing that you really want to explore is what is that person's feelings about where they're at? You know, and it requires building trust and rapport with someone, of course, but really asking the questions of, you know, how do they see their relationship and what do they really want in a relationship? You know, if they look at their current circumstances of where they're at, What are the things? Now, I will say this. If someone or anyone came to me who had been in a, you know, that abusive kind of a thing, I would first urge them to seek professional help, whether that be through law enforcement, wherever that needed to go. Just because I, you know, as a professional, that's where I would go with that. Now, if they're really wanting to stay in that relationship, again, I think that they have to get clear about what their intention is and what kind of outcome they want from that relationship. And sometimes, through the exploring of, you know, what's your intention with the relationship, exploring their communication that they have, exploring do they, trust and commitment, during those kind of conversations that you can have with someone around their relationship, a lot of times it'll work itself out, if that makes sense. The more clarity a client can have or someone in this situation, the more able they're to see clear about what they want and do they want to stay in or do they want to get out.
All right.
If they want to stay in, then of course, then it's, okay, what action steps are you going to take to make this the kind of relationship that you want? Now, you know, in a relationship like you're describing, I would venture to guess that they're not going to have much support from the other person. So again, it's about what ownership can you take in this relationship and what are you willing to do? Whether that be walk away or, you know, therapy or a million other things that can be done.
Can you help someone, Joyce, who isn't ready to be helped?
Well, that's an interesting question. I would say that anybody who reaches out for some kind of support on some level is ready for help, although they might not know what that help looks like at the time.
Okay.
So, you know, if somebody called me or somebody called you and they were in this difficult conversation or they were in this difficult relationship, I would venture to guess that they were reaching out because they wanted some form of help.
Right. I mean, I agree with you. It's a question that I sort of contemplate from time to time, because you run into people who have who act like they want help and actually seek it out, but then they get into some behavior that is sort of like yes, but, yes, but, yes, but, yes, but. And I find even in friendships that that's kind of a difficult person for me to be around for long periods of time. Do you have any sort of tricks of the trade to get around that yes-butting behavior?
Well, in my world, anything that comes before the but is a lie. So okay. I can say yes, but so to me that it just kind of sets it up that it, in this kind of situation, I think it really goes, there's exploration that you would want to have about people's self-limiting beliefs and self-enhancing beliefs, because our intention, whatever our intention is in anything, as well as all of our self-limiting beliefs are below that waterline of that iceberg, so to speak. And the interesting thing is in the self-limiting beliefs thing, there's usually, well, in fact, I would say there are only two reasons why we have these self-limiting beliefs, whether it's shame or insecurities or denial or resistance, avoidance, any of those kind of things. The two things that every one of those emotions is tied to is either control or approval.
Interesting.
So somebody saying, yes, I want to do that, but I'm scared or I have this going on. It's tied to one of those two things. Either it's control, maybe they're controlling themselves or they're being controlled by somebody else, or they're seeking approval. Approval from themselves, approval from the world at large, approval from someone else.
And so what you would try to do, and I'm sure knowing you would be able to begin to let people sort of expand their awareness so that they can see what they're doing so that they can stop doing it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does make sense. And it's really all about asking questions and what do people want to do? You know, everybody has their answers, Paul. I truly believe that there's no one is ever broken or wrong. I mean, we all work perfectly. we just get in our circumstances and in our, you know, our drift, and we just kind of get stuck right where we're at. And it's like putting blinders on. You know, the old horse, you know, the old horse blinders where your blinders are on?
Sure.
It's just like having your blinders on. And really, you have all the information that you need and access to probably a lot more support and tools and things that can support you than you think. It's just because you have those blinders on. And so really the, you know, what a coach does is we ask a lot of questions and explore and present possibilities and, you know, put things in front of clients clearly that we see because we're not in there, we're not stuck with them. So it gives them the opportunity to go, oh, I never, you know, here's an answer. I already had it in my head.
You know what was funny? I was actually at a book club. This was several months ago, and it was all women. And they had read my book, and they're local. And so a person that I work with said, would I come to the book club and chat with everyone? And I did. And it was so funny because when we started our conversation, every single woman in this group, and I'm not making a statement about women, but every single woman in this group said, oh, my husband really needs this book. Which actually, once everybody heard themselves say that, there was a lot of laughter because it was so easy for them to see how the things that I write about and begin with yes would be relevant to everybody else, but a little bit harder for them to see how it might be relevant to them.
For themselves.
But by the time we were through, we had shifted from talking about their husbands to talking about themselves, which is always a good thing. I think that one of the things that I see a lot of, and I have a tendency to do myself, is try to help other people, try to coach other people, not in a professional way, but in an informal way, like with my kids or people that I'm in relationship with or friendships with. And on my Facebook page, I often write about how futile that is to try to make somebody else happy or fix somebody else. Could you talk a bit about that?
Yeah, I think as just human beings, you know, our focus is a lot outwards. You know, we're always looking outside, whether it be for approval or, you know, in a situation, it can be, you know, we don't necessarily as human beings look inside us first to see, oh, well, you know, what's my contribution to this of this thing that's going on, whether it be the relationship or, you know, whatever it is, or me being stuck. We don't look outside of ourselves or inside ourselves first. And it, you know, when you start, you know, coaching or, you know, cheerleading or giving a lot of advice to other people, it depends on the person that you're giving that to. Most people really don't, they might like advice, they might hear it, but again, if they're not in the space to really hear what you're saying, it's just, you're just talking. That's all that it is. And so people as a whole, as a general, I think if we look inside ourselves and it's really more about our relationships with ourselves and what do we want. And the best way to be with another person, if they're stuck or, you know, your kids or anything, I see on your page, on your Begin With Yes page, you know, you ask a lot of questions. And that's the best thing because that gets the conversation moving and it lets other people explore in themselves. It gives them something to think about.
I think
questions are the way to go.
I agree. And, you know, one of the things people actually like to be reminded that they don't have to do that for somebody else, that each person is sort of responsible for themselves, because then they get to shift their attention from making somebody else better to dealing with their own issues and taking care of themselves. And I think people want to do that.
That is kind of the key to remember. I mean, I think as a society too, we all really want the best for other human beings, you know, mm-hmm. So it's our tendencies to try to assist other people, you know, wanted or unwanted. But it is, again, about, you know, letting other people have ownership and accountability in their own life.
Joyce, is happiness, as you begin with a new client or work with people, is happiness the goal?
Well, Well, I think happiness for each individual is different. So I think really the goal is for people to live the life that they really want and be able to have the things that they say that they want and dream big, you know, to really to think in big terms. There's nothing that we can't do if we set our minds to it.
You know, we're getting close to the end of today's show, but does moving forward and making things happen, realizing your dreams or moving in that direction, does that mean that all of a sudden life gets easy?
No, I don't think so. I think life is always something that you are working on, you know. It's really not the destination. It is the journey. So it's more about let's take those moments and enjoy them and just take small steps, you know. Again, take the small steps and just keep in action moving forward.
Do you find that by taking the small steps that people actually sometimes find out that the direction they were heading in sort of detours and they sort of stop moving in a different direction, that taking the small steps helps you discover that the where you are heading wasn't actually where you wanted or needed to go?
Yes, I think that really just with the small steps, it opens up the opportunity to see, okay, well, this might be, you know, I was thinking it was going to head in this direction. I was thinking I was going to take a 2-mile walk today, and I was going to go from point A to point B, and I took those small steps, and instead of going from point A to point B, I went from point A to point C, point D, down to point B.
So. Joyce, we've torn through another 30-minute show, and I'm so grateful that you came back, and I bet you'll have to come back again.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Paul. I always love being with you. I appreciate it.
It's a lot of fun. Thank you to Brent and Chris and all the people at Empower Radio. Thanks for all my Facebook friends who check in to Begin With Yes every day, and thank you for listening. I'll be here right here waiting for you next week. Have a great rest of your day.
Your hair every day, and do you want a good hairstyle every day? Hi, I'm Sarah Schuster. I went on a website called InventNow.org, and after that, I decided to invent something too. Something called the InstaDo. Just imagine, you just put it over your head like a helmet does, and you pick your hairstyle with the buttons on the side, and you can have instant hairstyle in seconds. People like it. People like Jeff Bart.
I like it.
And people like Kenneth.
It's this helmet thing, and it fits over your head, and it's great.
Thank you, Kenneth. You should go to inventnow.org, and it could help you come up with your own invention. After all, look at me on the radio now.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions, or just play some games at inventnow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.